Okay, welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church drive-in service for May 30th. Special welcome to those of you here in the parking lot who've joined us, and also a welcome to those who will be listening later by the internet. We've all been anxious to see each other, and yet we know for various reasons we're not quite there yet. And certainly as we listen to the announcements, just sort of anticipating with nicer summer weather, later June into July, maybe somewhere in there, we'll be able to have an outdoor service here and eventually back inside. We continue to pray for relief from the threat of the pandemic, and in our prayers, we also remember the healthcare workers and community leaders who are giving guidance. For those listening by internet, I'm Pastor Randy Clausen, sharing ministry with Pastor Nick Sherman and youth worker Taya Himes. Taya is here this morning. Good morning, Taya and John, waving from the car. Good to see you. Oh, did I miss something here? Yes. Today we're continuing our worship series, Hashtag Blessed, exploring the world of social media through the lens of the Beatitudes given by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. With that, at home, encouraging you to read the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 to 7. Later on, Pastor Nick will be sharing the message, Echo Chambers, based on the Beatitude, Blessed Are the Merciful. For a few announcements this morning, those of you who drove in today, thanks for sharing donations of food in support of community care. Very aware of the needs in our community, and we're seeking tangible ways to help. Also, thank you for your tithes and offerings for the ministry of the church. While we cannot meet the way we would like to for in-person worship, we are continuing to provide spiritual growth and Christian fellowship in different means and seeking ways to be the church for one another. Therefore, needs of the church have continued, and adapting to these challenges has been encouraging. For those of you listening from home, if you would like to share non-perishable food items for community care or your tithes and offerings, check the bulletin for details or contact the church office. Just for our community, we'd just like to acknowledge this past week the death of Irma Kaitler, and part of that, the Kaitler family will be gathering later this week for a private family service. And just a note here this morning, got a card from the Bible Society of St. Catharines, just acknowledging Irma's longtime ministry with the Bible Society and their condolences to family and the church community. For our call to worship this morning, make sure I didn't miss something else here. I know I did. There we are. Yes, Taya, Friday, senior youth online at 7 o'clock, and next Sunday, Sunday school groups are meeting at 9:30 and 11 once again. And just a reminder that we as church staff continue to work primarily from home, so email or call us there. For our call to worship this morning, in the Old Testament, God's mercy is referred to time and again. When the people messed up, God called them to repentance. God gave instructions for how to make things right. And God continues to extend his mercy because of his love for us and all people. When the time was right, God sent his son Jesus out of his love to guide us in living well. The New Testament speaks of God's love for us in Jesus as the act of God's grace to help us make things right again. The prayer of Psalm 25 gives us a preview of God's mercy and grace and invites us to participate in it. Psalm 25. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God, we're a traveling people, and one of the most difficult things for us these days is to stay home. Sometimes my travels are physical, and sometimes my mind wanders. Wandering is a good thing when I explore, when I have adventures, meet new friends and old, and learn new things. When my wandering takes me away from you, O God, and your desire for my blessing, there I am in danger of separation and pain. In this time of worship, renew my love for you and for your people as I look to Jesus for healing and hope. Amen. I believe the song sheets were distributed, and invite the praise team to come and lead us in singing, "Come Let Us All Unite."
Okay, Marianne and I are really counting on all of you to be singing in your car loud, so that you don't have a duet in there. So let's be sure to praise God together with our voices on this beautiful Sunday morning.
Come, let us all unite to sing, God is Lord. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God. Our sins away, his Spirit turned our night to day, and now we can rejoice to say that God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Happy is our portion here, God is love. His promises, our spirits cheer, God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way, our God.
The land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every
every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
As Christians, our prayers are sometimes directed to Jesus, and sometimes they conclude in the name of Jesus. These statements are a statement of confession of faith. Confession that when we approach God, when we talk with God, we do so because of the grace and mercy we have received through Jesus. Jesus teaches us to approach God with our concerns and our joys because he is the mediator who extends to us God's mercy. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we continue to gather in different ways, yet united in our need of your touch upon our lives, united in our longing for forgiveness, united in our need for community, united in our need to be restored with hope. For the days of the pandemic, while some see limitations, you have presented us with opportunities to display your love and compassion as Jesus has shared love and compassion with us. While we may not be able to travel wherever we want and gather with whoever we want, you give us new paths to pursue mercy and grace to neighbors and strangers who we would not otherwise have met with during the pandemic. When some complain they cannot gather with those who are like-minded, you have given us the opportunity to learn from others, to depend on others in our community whom we've not previously noticed. And so with thankfulness, help us to remove the blinders of our hearts, to be merciful to others as your heart longs for all to be saved from the loneliness of isolation and saved from the hopelessness of desolation. We ask that you renew your people with healing and hope found in Jesus. And so we pray for events happening around the world and in our community, for a lasting peace from violence, particularly in Palestine and Israel, for comfort and safety of the people of East Congo who've suffered from a rapid volcano. We pray with lament for the discovery of children's lives who died while in the care of church school and for the families who were never told what happened to their children. We also pray for those close to home and close to our hearts, for those in need of physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. We pray this week particularly for the Kaitler family at the death of Irma, who has been an example of trusting faith and service to you. And now we pray for the healing of our land, for the world, as so many have suffered and died during the pandemic. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, who invites us to trust his guidance toward forgiveness of sin and new hope and new life. Amen. Invite the praise and worship team to come and lead us again in singing.
We're going to be singing 10,000 Reasons. So if you want to find that on your song sheet, we'll all sing together.
Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing, 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship your holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship his holy name. Worship your holy name, Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
This morning I'll be reading from Matthew 5, verse 7, and Luke 6, verses 32 to 36. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
Well, it's good to see you all. I was remarking to Meg this morning that it's been six months just about since I've preached to people rather than my camera. So I might feel a bit rusty. If any of you has a cell phone, can hold it up for me to look at, that might be helpful. But it's good to be here. I know it's not the same to be in our cars, but I have heard from many of you there's something just about getting out of the house on a Sunday morning, that's good. And so it's good to see you, even if it's through your windshields. As we've heard, we're continuing our series in which we're exploring the world of social media through the lens of the Beatitudes. And we've been reflecting on how the Beatitudes are Jesus' proclamation that through him, God's kingdom blessing is available to everyone, including some of the people that we might least expect. And we've heard over the past couple weeks how that makes for good news and not just good advice. So far, we've looked at the first and the third of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor and blessed are the meek. And this week, again, we're skipping past the Beatitudes and looking at the fifth, which goes like this. We've just heard it read. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. In preparation for this series, I spent some time thinking about how this particular Beatitude might connect with how we spend time online, for those of us who do. What does mercy have to do with media? In some ways, I think it relates to some of what I talked about last week. But I also found myself thinking about echo chambers. I'm sure that some of you will be familiar with this idea of echo chambers, even if you don't have digital devices kicking around your place. Sometimes they're referred to by other names. Sometimes they're called filter bubbles. That sounds strange, but one of the terms there. And the concept of an echo chamber has to do with the ways that we tend to surround ourselves with content or people that reinforce rather than challenge beliefs that we hold. To understand this, it might be helpful to think about places where you literally hear echoes. Somewhere like a cave or a canyon, if you've ever been to one of those places, or a big empty building, or a worship service in a parking lot where you can hear your own voice amplified through speakers and stereos. I remember as a child poking my head into empty silos and grain bins on the farm and shouting something, curious what I'd hear back when I did. In an echo chamber, what you say and what you hear end up being the same thing. And so on social media, we're presented with all of these different choices or possibilities. But we often tend to follow people and sources that we agree with. If someone posts with viewpoints that you disagree with, you can simply change the settings so that you no longer see what they share. Or you can disconnect from them altogether. And that can be helpful and necessary at times, but if you do that, it also means that you're seldom being stretched to think critically about your own beliefs, your own convictions, or to be stretched to interact with those who are different or believe differently from you. Again, it's like an echo. You just hear your voice repeated back to you. And again, we might do this in any number of ways, including offline life as well. We can do this with things we read or with some of our day-to-day relationships, friendships even. We're apt to associate with people who tend to live and think in similar ways to us. We might do this with what we watch, with the news maybe. The news, of course, is never entirely neutral and is always presented with a particular bent, and so we can end up consuming reporting that aligns with rather than challenges some of our own assumptions and biases. And when it comes to social media, for those of you who are familiar with it, this is made worse by the fact that these very sophisticated algorithms, these sophisticated programs, identify things that we're interested in, things that we like, and just show us more and more of them. And a result of all of this is that all of these echo chambers is that they've increased our polarization as a society. They deepen many of our conflicts. They cause us to become more and more entrenched in our differences. They make civil conversation challenging, and the idea of holding diversity within community seem increasingly impossible. And so I thought about echo chambers when I thought about mercy. And the reason I did is because in Scripture, mercy has to do with how we relate to other people, especially people who think differently or are different from us. When we look at Scripture, we see that mercy is a kind of holy leniency towards those who are wrong or who have done wrong. Mercy is pardoned punishment by means of an undeserved love. To be merciful is to extend kindness and compassion to those who need it. Mercy is forgiveness. Mercy is a form of tenderness. Mercy is a generosity in one's hearts and one's hands. Mercy, I believe, is grace by another name. And in Scripture, we often see mercy as presented as something that's reciprocal. In other words, mercy is something that we both give and receive. We see that in the language of Jesus' beatitude here. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. It's something we give, but also that we receive. Now, what this does not mean is that our mercy is a means to being blessed. I've talked about this a number of times these past few weeks. Contrary to how many of us have been taught the Beatitudes over the years, they're not teachings about how to be blessed. Instead, they're teachings about the surprising sorts of people who are included in God's blessing. They're a kind of illustration of the fact that anyone can participate in God's kingdom life if they respond to the invitation. And not only the people we would normally think of as being blessed in our worlds. And so when Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy, he's not saying that we get God's mercy by being merciful. We don't earn God's mercy by practicing mercy. It might seem like that at first in these verses, but in Scripture we always find that it's the other way around. God's mercy always comes first. God's mercy towards us is always the starting point. It's then by being shown mercy that we're able to show mercy towards others. One of my seminary professors had a habit of repeating, mercy in, mercy out. Mercy in, mercy out. He's a fascinating character. He only ever got upset in class when our sermons didn't have a hint of grace in them. And so he said, mercy in, mercy out. And by this he meant that when we truly experience God's mercy coming into our lives, that will lead us to show mercy towards others. Jesus illustrates this with the parable of the unmerciful servants. I find it later in Matthew's gospel. There he tells this tale of a person who had a massive financial loan forgiven, and all the relief and joy that follows that experience. But this man, Jesus says, then goes on to demand pocket change from someone else. In this really angry and jarring exchange. And the truth that Jesus is communicating is that the mercy that we've been shown by God will translate to mercy that we show towards others. Mercy in, mercy out. That's how it goes. As people who are shown mercy despite being wrong, we should also show mercy to those who we see as being wrong or having done us wrong. This is a common theme in Jesus' teaching. He says something later on in Luke's account of Jesus' most famous sermon as well. Be merciful, Jesus says, just as your Father is merciful. I heard these verses read. Here again, it's understood as this reciprocal reality, mercy in, mercy out. God has shown us mercy, therefore we ought to show others mercy as well. Except here, Jesus prefaces it with all these statements about not just being merciful to those who are like us or who like us, but to others as well. Because it's easy to love those who love you, he says. It's easy to do good to those who do good to you. It's easy to lend to those who you know will repay back everything they owe you. It's easy, Jesus says, but what good is it if you only do that? So it turns out that we've had this tendency towards echo chambers for a long, long time. I believe that's along the lines of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that we'll gladly associate with people who agree with us and are generally friendly towards us. We'll surround ourselves with people who are similar and sympathetic to our causes. We'll love people who love us, he says. But mercy, God's mercy, always moves us beyond that. To be clear, it doesn't require that we sacrifice conviction. I know that's a worry for some. It doesn't mean that we don't work towards accountability or clarity or mutual understanding. And it doesn't mean that we need to accept every viewpoint as being valid. But what it does require, though, is a willingness to admit that we might sometimes be wrong. Jesus follows this teaching, of course, with his words about removing the plank from your own eye before concerning yourself with a speck in the other person's eye. It requires this recognition that sometimes our own view of things can be obstructed. requires a recognition that there are times when we've been loved by God and others despite our being wrong. And so when we're aware of the ways that we've been shown mercy by God, we're able to extend mercy towards others. Mercy in, mercy out. To be clear, this is not easy. It's not at all. I would say that it's perhaps been especially difficult in these past 2 years for a lot of people. With our worlds in crisis, we've seen increased division, especially when it comes to some of our interactions online. In some ways, we've shifted further and further into side-taking. And I don't know about you, but a lot of days I think it would be much easier if all the people in my life thought and acted just like me. Just give me a few dozen Nicks as friends, and I'll be good. Or a church made up of 350 Nicks, maybe. You can imagine that choir. Have you ever found yourself thinking like that? An echo chamber where my perspectives are reinforced and repeated back to me on a daily basis actually sounds really nice if I'm being completely honest. And it can be tempting to try to arrange my life in that way. It can be tempting to try to just stick with people who believe similar sorts of things as me and behave in similar sorts of ways, including when it comes to my time online. For example, I have very little patience for conspiracy theories and for people who post them on social media, especially when those ideas contradict science and come with the potential to do serious harm towards others. I get really upset when North American Christians take to the internet with their persecution complexes. And I don't have much tolerance for extreme political views of any type that are shared online. You know anyone who does those sorts of things? Maybe a relative, the one uncle we all seem to have, or a coworker, or old classmates. So it can be really easy to want to just shut all of those people out of my life and try to go find a whole bunch of Nicks instead. By means of another example, you may have heard that a few weeks ago, the largest Southern Baptist church in the United States made headlines after defying their convention and ordaining three women. It's kind of a big deal, a Southern Baptist here. And unsurprisingly, it ignited a firestorm of social media controversy around the question of women in ministry in the church. And for myself, this is a non-issue, and I know and respect so many women who are pastors and have been part of churches where they've served. And so it can be really easy for me to want to simply disassociate with others who think differently. Unfollow, unfriend, stop checking their feeds, listen to only to people who are like me. Surround myself with people who confirm my biases. Can you relate to this? Again, I don't think you need to be online to get it. Blessed are the merciful, Jesus says, for they will be shown mercy. Again, there's something counterintuitive about what he's saying here. It goes against the grain of our prevailing assumptions about the world. I've talked about this a number of times the past couple of weeks. We don't normally think of mercy as being the way towards well-being. We don't think about mercy as the way to build a kingdom in the world. When we think about who's well off, we generally don't picture gracious and generous people. When we think about who's favored in society, we don't automatically think of those who are forgiving. In the eyes of many, merciful are instead people who are seen as often being taken advantage of, people who maybe give beyond their means. They're stereotyped as people who tolerate what shouldn't be tolerated, who don't speak up when they should, who can't advocate for themselves. In being patient and compassionate towards those who are wrong and choosing to pardon wrongdoing, they're maybe labeled as convictionless or cowards. They're maybe mocked as pushovers or people who don't have any principles. They're maybe told they lack moral integrity or made fun of as bleeding hearts. Again, because of how we've often been taught the Beatitudes, we tend to think of mercy as being a good trait for us to aspire to as Christians. And it truly is, as I've said. I believe that's true. But that's not primarily what Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Mount. That's not the main thing he's trying to teach us. What Jesus is saying is that even though people wouldn't have necessarily assumed that the merciful would have a prominent place in God's kingdom, God's blessing is extended to all who would receive it, including even them. In the Gospels, we see that highly religious people were among the most likely to arrange themselves into silos, into echo chambers. This is true of the Pharisees especially. Their misguided commitments to their own viewpoints close them off from others who believe differently or fail to live up to their standards. Out of this distorted sense of spiritual sincerity, they sheltered themselves from those who challenged their convictions and violated their rules. Like many of you, they obviously didn't have any of the technology and would have been really confused if someone tried to explain social media to them. But I believe they did the same thing. They created echo chambers. And I think that ought to be a warning for those of us who are highly religious today, whatever type of religious we might be. If you look it up, you'll see that one of the times we see mercy appear the most in the Gospels is people calling out to Jesus for mercy. People who are blind, sick, and suffering from evil spirits. And God's heart of mercy in Christ moved Jesus beyond where he might have otherwise stayed. Mercy allowed him to do what all the religious professionals of his day simply couldn't bring themselves to do. It moved him out of his echo chamber. It allowed him to break free of his filter bubble. Mercy, which is closely related to pity and sympathy, allowed him to move towards, not away from other people, and to see their woundedness and offer them healing. When researchers talk about online echo chambers, they sometimes refer to this concept of homophily. Homophily kind of sounds like a delicious Greek dish, but it's a word that comes from two words that together mean love of the same. Love of the same. And it refers to this broader social phenomenon of primarily associating with people who are similar to us in any number of ways. We tend to gravitate towards those who are like us. As a Nick, I gravitate towards other Nicks. Quiet people with beards and glasses who like nature and books. We tend to love the people who love us and do good to the people who do good to us, to quote Jesus again. But mercy always moves us beyond that. Mercy goes against this deeply ingrained tendency in us and this commonly held set of assumptions. In that way, again, it's surprising and perhaps even shocking that the merciful would be called blessed here. Mercy moves us beyond our echo chambers to love and spend time with those who are different and think differently from us. And Jesus challenges us to move beyond them as well. When one of the religious teachers of Jesus' day asked what it meant to love one's neighbor, Jesus told him a story about mercy. He told this parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a case study in spiritual compassion, but it also would have scandalized this Jewish leader, because the Jewish people hated Samaritans. Despite how we've come to call this story, they're not people that they would have called good. They're like all the people on the internet whom I and you would prefer to block or ignore. They were different and despised, and Jewish people, like everyone else, gravitated towards people who were similar to them. And here Jesus is saying that they should learn from the Samaritan and show care to those who are hurting. Take a lesson from the person you'd prefer never to talk to, Jesus says. There's a challenge there for us. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy, Jesus says. Just as you have been shown mercy by God, go out and show mercy towards others. Mercy in, mercy out. So my invitation for you this week is to think about this idea of echo chambers. Maybe it's new for you, maybe it's familiar, but in what ways is it an accurate description of your own experience, whether it's online or just in person? In what ways do you tend to surround yourself with people who think and act in similar ways to you? And how might mercy, God's mercy, move you beyond that? How might Jesus be challenging you to move beyond your echo chamber? Amen. We invite our song leaders up again to lead us in Everlasting.
Everlasting to everlasting, you
unchanged by all the vanities of man. And as the nations rise and fall, your sovereignty remains.
Well, thank you once again for coming out today. Good to see you. And do be listening in the coming weeks. We're excited about the opportunities that the new guidelines as things reopen might allow for us in the coming months. Share these words of blessing as we go from this place, and then we'll hear one more closing song. As you go from this place, may you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.